Second, number 6. Second, chapter number 6. Well, I have to tell you, I am so grateful and honored for the opportunity that your pastor, Brother Josh, has given me to preach here to you all tonight. And I'm so grateful to come here. And I tell you what, I look up to your pastor. And I don't just say that. You all are blessed. You know that? You all are blessed. You know, I'm so grateful for some of these men who are in the ministry. People like my pastor, people like my former youth pastor, people like Brother Josh, other people across town who I know, who I can look to, who have served the Lord for years in the ministry. And I can look to as an example, and they've set the example. And I'm so grateful for your pastor, Brother Josh, and I'm so grateful for his influence. And I haven't known Brother Josh for real long, but I had the privilege of grabbing lunch with him last week. And it was very evident to me that you have a pastor who has a heart for his church. Amen. And who loves you and who cares for you. And I do not take this lightly, Brother Josh, this opportunity tonight. And I appreciate so many of you. I appreciate the encouragement. Appreciate the opportunity I was given a couple weeks back to speak at the men's prayer breakfast. You know, Brother James told me when they were there for our revival in January, he said, "Boy, I heard you're speaking for our men's breakfast. You better be ready to eat. You better just be ready. We know how to eat over at Northside." And he was right. You know, he came. But I tell you what, y'all have just an amazing breakfast. You know, the one thing that was told me, and the one way that we originally had a mutual friend. Of course, it's his brother-in-law, Brother C.J. McFalls, who's there at Valley View and a dear friend of mine. And one of the things that C.J. told me, he says, you've got to try the fried bologna. You got to try it. You got to try it. And he wasn't lying, all right? Brother James, I walked through the back doors tonight, though, and he gave me a hard time. He says, "You didn't eat enough that morning. You were here." And I said, you're right. We'll have to work on that, all right? But anyways, but I'm so grateful for the opportunity to be here at Northside. I tell you what, it's such an encouraging thing to see that the same work that's being done at our church that we get to see on a regular basis is being done just across town here at Northside. And to see what the Lord's doing with you all. And Brother Josh was able to share with me what God's done. I know he's been your pastor here for these past couple years. But what an encouragement it's been to me. And as a young man in the ministry, I've only been youth pastor there at Valley View for, goodness, maybe about a year and a half now. But I'm so grateful to see the common bond that some of these pastors in town have. And to see them working together and encouraging one another. You know, our pastor, Brother Justin, has told me before, personally, he says, "Hey, you know, Brother Josh Sharp, I tell you what, he is probably one of my closest and dearest friends in the ministry, because he's someone who I can confide in and who is such an encouragement to me." And so it's encouraging to know that your pastor is not just looking out for you all, and he's not just being an encouragement to you, he's reaching out to other pastors, and he's being an encouragement to him, and that says volumes about him and about his ministry here. And I can tell that that's evident throughout you all here as well, and the spirit here at Northside. So grateful to be here. But let's look here in our passage at 2 Kings chapter number 6. 2 Kings chapter number 6. I'll be honest with you all, I was not very familiar with this passage growing up. This was not a passage that I had learned about when I was a kid, and didn't really think a whole lot about it, but there was a period of time last year gave me this passage to look at and to study out, and I got to thinking about this, and there's an incredible truth here in the book of 2 Kings chapter number 6 that I believe we ought to grab and not let get away. If you stand, this is something we do at our church. I don't know if you all do it here. Stand for the reading of God's word here. 2 Kings chapter 6. And look at verse number 8. It says, "Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, 'In such and such a place shall be my camp.' And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down.' And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, 'Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?' And one of his servants said, 'None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber.' And he said, 'Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him.' And it was told him, saying, 'Behold, he is in Dothan.' Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, And hosts compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, do not miss this. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. Did you catch that? Open his eyes. There is something that he cannot see right now. Lord, I am asking you, open his eyes. Open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Here's the title of my message tonight. Lord, open my eyes. Lord, open my eyes. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for all that you've done for us. Lord, we want to thank you tonight for your mercy, for your grace. Lord, we want to thank you for how you've worked in the hearts of your believers here tonight. Lord, it's so evident just based off the people sharing their requests, making them known to you during that time of prayer that we have a heart of people here at Northside, Lord, who look and who turn to you. And Lord, no doubt many of them might have a past that you have saved them from and saved them out of. And we're so grateful for that mercy and we're so grateful for that grace. But Lord, so many times as believers, it's so easy to get caught up with things where we lose sight of what is right in front of us. And God, I just ask that you would help me in these next few moments. Lord, I ask that by your Holy Spirit, not by me, not by anything specific that I say, but God, I ask that your Holy Spirit do a work here tonight. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would give me the words to say. Lord, if there's something that I have planned out to say that you would not have me to say, don't allow me to say it. Lord, we want your will to be done here tonight. And Lord, here tonight who needs word, who needs this truth, God, I ask that you would help them to not be distracted by priorities that they have to deal with. Help them not to be distracted by things that they might have to deal with once the service is let out tonight. God, I ask that you would please, by your Holy Spirit, speak to them. Lord, I ask that you would use me. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you so much. Please be seated. Here in this passage here, there's an interesting story here. Elisha here was the prophet of God. He was the man of God. And here was the request that he made known. Some of you might be with Elijah, the prophet of God. And Elijah, the prophet of God, was the one that was taken up by a chariot of fire into heaven. He never faced death. And when Elijah was about to leave this earth, he asked Elisha, what is it? What is it that I might grant unto you or that the Lord might grant unto you? And here was Elisha's words. Give me a double portion of your spirit. Give me a double portion of the power by the Holy Spirit of God that he's laid on you because I've witnessed it, Elijah. Me, myself, Elisha, I have witnessed what God's done with you. I've witnessed God's hand on you. And here's my request. I'm not asking for riches. I'm not asking for power. I'm just asking that a double portion of your spirit. That was an amazing thing to request. You know why? Because he set his affection on things and not on things on the earth. And that's Elisha was a man of God who God used. If you look at the life of Elisha and you compare it with the life of Elijah, there's no doubt God used Elijah. But when you see what Elisha did, you can't doubt but say, truly, there was a double portion of that spirit on Elisha in his ministry. And this passage here that we notice is an example of that. Here's Elisha. He was here with his servant. And they are there in Dothan. And as they're there, the king of Syria wants to make war against the king of Israel. Now, the kings of Israel at this point in history, they weren't the greatest of kings, but God still looked out for his people through his prophet, through Elisha. And here's the king of Syria, and he came up with this scheme. He came up with this plan. He thought, I've got a great idea of how we can get at Israel, how we can overthrow them. Here's what we're going to do. He brought them in there in the privacy of his chamber there. He brought them together and he said, I've got a great idea. We are going to encamp at this place right here. They're not going to know what's coming. They're not going to have a clue that we're going to camp there. And right when the time is right, we know that the people of Israel pass by that way from time to time. We know that that's what they do on a regular basis, but we're going to encamp there, and they won't expect it. We're going to encamp there at that place, and they will have no clue, and we're going to attack them, and we're going to overthrow Israel. But God was there speaking to his man, Elisha. And see, God's ears are everywhere in this world. And God's ears heard the king of Syria. And they heard about their plan to encamp there in that place. And Elisha, the man of God, God told him, here's what the king of Syria is planning. And Elisha sent word to the king, hey, the king of Syria, king of Israel, listen, the king of Syria is encamping in this place. Do not get entangled by their forces. Do not be overtaken. Here's where they are. He gave them battle plans. And here they were, and there were multiple times, there were a number of times that said not once, not twice. That means there was at least three times where the king of Israel was able to save himself and his people because they didn't pass by that way. Amen. And here is the king of Syria, and he can't figure it out. How in the world, we know they come by this way, how in the world is no one from Israel? How have we not caught them? And the king of Syria, he got this idea. He thought, surely there's only one explanation. See, he didn't know the God that we know. And so here was his only explanation. His one explanation was, there's got to be a snitch. There's got to be a rat here in Syria. There's got to be a rat here among our people, among our army, who knows exactly what our plans are, and they've gone and they've told them over in Israel. You see, that was the only explanation that he could come up with. Isn't it an amazing thing when the people who don't know the Lord, they don't know how to explain certain things? But those of us who know the Lord, who know what he's capable of, who know his power, we've got an explanation for it. We've got an explanation for the miracles that we see wrought with people. It's by him. But the king of Syria couldn't figure it out. And then someone told him, they said, wait. Oh, king, it's not a rat. None of us have told anybody about it. There's a man of God. There's a man over in Israel named Elisha. And Elisha, God tells him, his God tells him everything that you talk about in your bedchamber. And instead of the king of Syria realizing, wow, what an amazing God. What an amazing God that can hear my thoughts and tell them to another man. Instead of realizing and then pointing his heart towards God and being like, there's a God in Israel who hears what we hear and tells someone over there. What an amazing God. Who is this God? I want to know this God. No, that wasn't his answer. His answer was, well, let's find this man, Elisha, and let's take him down. And let's take him and let's seek him. Let's find out where he's at. Let's get an army together. No matter how big his God is, let's get an army together. Let's go to wherever he's at and let's overtake him and take him captive. It probably would have sought to kill him. And they told him, they said, he's over in Dothan. And here they are, they gather all these soldiers together, thousands of soldiers, as they march there to Dothan. And as they march there throughout the night, it says they encompass the city roundabout. And it says early the next morning, can you picture the sun rising? And the servant of Elisha comes out of the place there where they abode. And he walks out there, and here it is, and maybe he's stretching in the morning. And here he is, the sun's just coming up, and it's just another typical day, and all of a sudden he looks around. And there is the host of the Syrian army completely surrounding them. And panic sets in. It was just another day, and he walks out in the morning, and it takes him completely off guard. He wasn't expecting it, and he sees the entire army surrounding them. And he goes in there to Elisha. If you look at the passage, my master, alas, what are we going to do? They're surrounding us. They're surrounding us. But Elisha, knowing God, the powerful God, spoke to the Lord and he said, Lord, open the eyes of my servant. Open his eyes that he may see. And at that moment, God heard and answered his prayer. And the eyes of that servant of Elisha's, God opened. And he saw an army of a host from heaven fiery chariots surrounding them to protect them, surrounding the place where they abode. Surrounding them was this host, heavenly host of angelic armies, a fiery host of heaven surrounding them. Do you think that servant, his expression, his demeanor, his spirit changed at that moment? What first he walked out and he saw this and thought, what are we going to do? I don't know what to do. You know why? Because he couldn't see. His eyes had to be open. And when the Lord opened the eyes of that servant and removed that blindfold over him, all of a sudden he saw. And by the way, that heavenly host was still there before. It was still there before, but he just couldn't see it. There was something causing him to not be able to see that heavenly host that was protecting them the whole time. Can I tell you something tonight? There is something taking place all around us that we can't see. There is a spiritual warfare taking place in our lives every single day that we cannot see. And I don't know that this will happen, but wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if one day when we get to heaven and we're with the Lord, he removes the veil and he shows us back. He removes the veil and we get to look back at that moment. He says, do you see what was there the whole time that you didn't see? Do you see that part where you almost got in that car wreck? But did you see how you didn't? Did you see what was around you? I know you didn't see it then, but look, I had my host watching out for you. Amen. I truly believe that the Lord and his army looks out for his church. And wouldn't it be an incredible thing if for just one moment, let's say for 30 seconds, God would remove the veil from our eyes to see what is taking place all around us right now at this moment. What takes place at that moment? Brother Josh was telling me about just an incredible revival that you all had last year and how the Lord worked. And I was able to look at photos on Facebook that were posted about people outside the church building after church with a time of prayer. And clearly the Holy Spirit moving. But you know, it's those type of meetings, and not just those meetings, but regular church meetings, where you can sense and feel the presence of God working, that I believe there's a spiritual warfare going on. Because Satan hates what's happening at those moments. And you better believe that God is a heavenly host who's watching out for his people. Because he wants to show them something. He wants to show them. You know, there's nothing more frustrating than when something is obstructing your vision. Something was obstructing the vision of that servant that day. And I don't know exactly what it was, but there was some kind of an obstruction, spiritually speaking, to where he could not see what was surrounding them and protecting them. You know, it's a frustrating thing, us, just from day to day when we go around, if there's something in your way, right? How many times you've been sitting in the living room and someone's walking by and there's a ball game on, you're like, come on, I can't see, come on, I'm going to miss something, right? Can't stand it when something's obstructing your view. Come on, move out of the way. I'll never forget, there was a time last September, in fact, I believe it was the Tennessee Vols home opener at Neyland Stadium. And I went there with some friends from our church, and one of them, his name's Wayne Schrader, he's got a little boy, Landon. And Landon's about, 9 years old or so, but he's real little, real short, like me, right? But Landon's real short, and I can remember we came early for the Vol Walk, right? How many of you guys have ever been to the Vol Walk before at Neyland Stadium, all right? It's a neat experience, but here the band's walking through, the players watching through, the coaches are watching through, but there are so many people surrounding them that little Landon could not see. We were trying to see if the guy next to us with the big pickup truck would let him stand in the back so he could look over everybody. He said, no, this isn't my truck, or I can't remember what the answer was. But little Landon could not see, and here he is. He can sense it. He can hear the band right there. He knows they're walking right by, but he cannot see it, and it's driving him crazy because he knows there's something taking place. He knows it's there, but he can't see it. And so his dad, Brother Wayne, he hoisted Landon up, and he got him on his shoulders, and he put him up there. And Landon, all of a sudden, as soon as, first of all, what it was frustration. Because here he is. Everyone can look, stand on their tippy toes, and here's Landon. I can't, you know, there's people in front of him. I can't see anything, you know, you feel so bad for him. And as soon as his dad hoisted him up on his shoulders, and he's high above everyone else, and he can look down, and he can see it, all of a sudden his eyes got about this big. And he's looking down, and here's his dad. You see him? You see Josh Dobbs there? Yeah. Do you see Coach? Oh, and all of a sudden his eyes are just, oh. You know what it was? It was a change of demeanor. Right. Because now there was nothing obstructing his vision. It's frustrating when things are obstructing our vision. That's very frustrating. But imagine Elisha's servant when he was able to finally see what was right in front of him, when that obstruction was finally gone. Imagine that. And here's the thing I want to start off by telling you all tonight. Every single one of us is born spiritually blind. It's one thing when something's obstructing your vision physically, but spiritually speaking, every single one of us was born spiritually blind. Before you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you could not see certain things. You were spiritually blind. You were blind to the truth. You were blind to God's blessings. You were blind to God's glory. But what an amazing thing. The day you put your faith and trust in Christ, you're now born into the family of God. And now guess what? You can see. He allows you to be able to see. 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 3 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God," think of someone who's lost, "in whom the God of this world," that's God of this world, "is Satan." Our God is not of this world. We serve a God of a different world. "In whom the God of this world," Satan, "hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." See, Satan, you know what he does with lost people? He blinds them. He blinds them. They cannot see certain things because they're spiritually blind. And it's not until they come to the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ and what Christ has done for them and how they can have freedom, how they can have forgiveness of sins, how they can have a home in love in heaven, how they can have an abundant life. It can only happen at that moment when they can now see because they've received that gift of salvation. Aren't you thankful for your salvation tonight? But you know what? We're all born spiritually blind. Once God gives us our sight, when we become his child, we can now see the truth, we can see his word, we can see his doings. But wait a minute. Somewhere along the way, we can sometimes have something that obstructs our vision. We can have something that obstructs our vision. I know this is a little different, but I want you to do me a favor at this moment. We're not going to pray, but I want everyone, close your eyes at this moment. At this moment, just close your eyes. Don't look around. And I know you can hear me, but you can't see me. And I want you to picture every single one of you. It's easy to allow your mind to wander when your eyes are closed, but I want you to do me something. I want you to imagine yourself at home without being able to see anything. Picture yourself walking through the door. Imagine walking through the door, and this is all you see is blackness. Now, some of you at this moment, with your eyes closed, you can think, "Well, I think I'd be able to get around okay because I know my house pretty well. I know my home pretty well." But here's what I want you to do: with your eyes still closed, I want you to imagine if you lost your sight right now, and this is all you saw. If you had to walk outside after this service is over to your car, how you would do? With your eyes still closed, walking out in that parking lot, and this is all you see is darkness, is blackness. Imagine this. This is all you see right now. And you think, "Well, I might be okay. I've got a remote starter. I've got a remote where I can hit a button so I can follow the sign." But I want you to picture getting in that car and getting in the driver's and then trying to go about to get home, and this is all you see is darkness and black. Well, do you think you would fare? Imagine every single day of your life going around, and this is all you see. You can open your eyes now. Imagine that. Imagine that. Now think. You think, "Well, I wouldn't do that." Imagine if every single person here, we all did that. We all closed our eyes. We tried to go through the next 24 hours just like that. Do you think we would be able to make it around okay? No, it'd be chaos, wouldn't it? You know why? There's something obstructing your vision. Can you imagine how silly it would be if you tried to go about your day like that, knowing you've got the capability to see, but you're just choosing to keep your eyes closed, to try to get through life, to try to get through the day with your eyes closed? Why would you do that? But here's what I believe. I believe many of God's people go every single day. They have the capability of seeing, but they are allowing something to obstruct their view. Amen. You've got the ability to see because it was saved. There's something obstructing your view. And to us, we would think, well, why in the world would I go throughout my day with my eyes closed? But then here's my question. Why would you go every single day as a Christian with something covering up so where you can't see something as a believer, spiritually speaking? Because you have the ability to. You know what it is? I believe that some of Satan's greatest weapons among Christians is keeping them from seeing what God would have them to see. You say, well, God's given us sight, so I know I've got the eyes to see now His glory. I've got the eyes to see what God wants me to see His goodness, to see His will, His way, to see His truth. I know that because I'm saved. Wonderful. But you know what? Satan has a way of using certain things. Satan has a way of using blindfolds and placing them over those spiritual eyes that can see because you're saved. But if he can put something over those eyes that can see to obstruct your vision, to get you to keep you from seeing what God would have you to see, to keep you from seeing what God is capable of doing in your life, to keep you from seeing what God will teach you in his word, to keep you from seeing the goodness of God and the workings of God, he's going to use it. You better believe he's going to use it. The Bible talks about the wiles of the devil. He's crafty. He has certain things. And I believe Satan has a way of using blindfolds to come over the eyes of believers to where they can't see certain things. You say, what kind of blindfolds does he use? Well, first of all, there's the blindfold of sin. The blindfold of sin. You don't have to turn there, but in Numbers chapter 22, we hear a story. We read a story about a man named Balaam. And Balaam was a man of God who Balak, the king of Moab, was trying to get him to do something that he knew was wrong. Balak, the king of Moab, said, Balaam, I know any time that you curse someone, they're cursed. Anytime you curse a group of people, they're cursed. And anytime you bless a certain group of people, they're blessed. When you say something, it comes to fruition. It happens. So Balaam, here's what I want you to do. I want you, there's the people of Israel. I want you to put a curse on them. Because they're going to come into our land, they're going to take us, and we'll overthrow them. So Balaam, I'll do anything for you. I'll do anything for you. You just go and you curse those people. Because I know if you curse them, they're going to have a curse on them, and that's all we have to worry about. They're done. And Balaam, knowing it was wrong, went to God, and God told him no. He told Balak no, and Balak came back. Well, wait, I'll give you anything. I'll give you anything, okay? And here's Balaam, second time. Again, he knew it was wrong, but he came to God, and God finally, he granted him his permissive will. In other words, you know that I've already told you you're not supposed to do that. Don't say anything. If they tell you in the morning to go, then go. But don't say anything until I tell you to. So the next morning, Balaam goes with the people of Moab. He knew it was wrong. He's headed over there to put a curse on God's people, knowing it was wrong, and he sets out on his donkey and his two servants. And God, it says in Numbers 22, God was so displeased with him because he knew, you know this is wrong, and I've told you this is wrong. And here he is, and his donkey is going along the way. There's an angel of the Lord standing there, right by a field, standing in the way of the donkey. And the donkey could see it, but Balaam couldn't. And the donkey, he saw this angel standing in the way, so he moves off into the field. Can you imagine to Balaam? He's like, why is my donkey randomly putting me in the middle of a field somewhere, off to the wayside? So he hits as hard as he can, keeps going. Later on, further down the way, the angel of the Lord came back, standing with a sword right in the way. Here they are walking through a vineyard. There's a wall on either side. And it says the donkey saw the angel. Balaam couldn't see it. And the donkey rammed up against the wall, and Balaam's foot got rammed up against the wall there in the vineyard. And he got so mad he hit that thing again. And then as he went on further, that angel appeared. But it was such a narrow way that there was nowhere for the donkey to go. He couldn't go to the left or the right, so the donkey just goes straight down. Can you imagine Balaam riding on this donkey thinking, he walks into the side of a wall, he walks into the field for no reason, now he's just stopping right here. And he hit that thing, and God opened the mouth of the donkey. And Balaam was so caught up and going forward to take that bribe from the king of Moab to curse God's people, it didn't even occur to him, there's a donkey talking to me right now, right? That donkey's saying, what are you doing hitting me? Haven't I been the one that's taken you for years? And I've never led you astray? And all of a sudden, at that moment, God opened the eyes of Balaam. But why couldn't the angel that was standing there those two times prior? Why couldn't he say it? It says in verse number 30 of Numbers 22, and the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down and fell flat on his face. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, here it is, I have sinned. Why couldn't Balaam see that angel? Because something was obstructing his vision. The sin in his heart to go there to take the bribe from the king of Moab to curse God's people, which he knew was wrong. There was sin in Balaam's heart. And because there was sin in Balaam's heart, he could not see what God had right in front of him. And you know, sometimes as believers, we want to wonder, why can't I see the goodness of God? Why can't I see God working in my life? Why can't I see God doing something? Why can't I see the light of the Word of God? Why do I feel like God's not speaking to me? Could it be that your vision is being obstructed because there's some sin in your heart? And it's only at that moment where you confess that sin, repent of it, bring it to the Lord. You ask Him for forgiveness to where all of a sudden, not only does He cleanse you, not only does He cleanse you to where that fellowship, that relationship with you and the Father can be restored, but now that obstruction, that blindfold of sin, if you will, it's gone. And now you can see. Is the blindfold of sin obstructing your view tonight? Is there sin in your heart and life that's keeping you from seeing what God would have you to see? Not only does Satan use the blindfold of sin, but he uses the blindfold of fear. The blindfold of fear. No doubt there are times when things will peer into the heart of God's people. No doubt Satan likes to use that tool. If you were to examine your heart and life tonight, is there something that's troubling you? Is there something that you're afraid of? Are you afraid of the future of your children? What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of a problem that you might be going through today? What you have to face tomorrow? What you're dealing with? Whether or not God's going to meet your need? Are you afraid of something tonight? Is there fear in your heart towards something tonight? Are you afraid of an unknown outcome that you're dealing with physically? You know, many as Christians, we deal with fear. Many times we deal with fear. Sometimes it's just a fear of, God, I don't know what you're going to do. God, are you going to ever meet my need? God, are you ever going to look out for me? God, are you ever going to fulfill this, what it is? You know what I'm going through, God. And sometimes that fear creeps in. And you know what the Bible says? It says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If you're fearing something, you need to realize that fear is not coming from God. If you're fearing something tonight, understand that fear is not from the Lord. And if you're fearing something, God wants to get rid of that fear in your heart. He doesn't want you to continue to live every single day in fear. He wants to remove it. That's a tactic. That's a blindfold of Satan. Satan can use fear to blind the eyes of Christians. And instead of seeing God's hand of mercy, seeing God's hand of blessing, seeing God's will, instead of seeing all of this, and many times you can look at other people and you can think, man, look at so-and-so, and you can compare yourself, and it's so easy to do. Compare yourself and think, look at them. Look at God's blessing. Look at them look at them in the church services. God clearly is showing them something. Boy, they're getting excited. Boy, you can tell by their testimony. God's showing them something, but why isn't He showing it to me? Why isn't He showing it to me? Why can they see it and I can't see it? Could it be that there's a blindfold over your eyes? Could it be that Satan's got a blindfold of fear over your eyes? And that fear is blinding you from seeing what God would have you to see. Do you have fear you're dealing with in your life? God wants to remove it. God wants to remove that blindfold. Fear is a blindfold, a tactic of Satan to keep you from seeing what God would have you to see. We've got the blindfold of sin, the blindfold of fear. I've got to move. Number three, the blindfold of discouragement. The blindfold of discouragement. Have you ever been discouraged in your life before? Have you ever dealt with something that felt so weighty, so much that you've had to... You know, there was someone in Scripture who had a lot to be discouraged about. Some of you know the story of Joseph, don't you? Joseph was someone, he was sold into slavery by his own brothers. He didn't do anything. And by the way, after he was sold into slavery to go into Egypt, here he is serving the Lord, doing, working hard in Potiphar's house. And what happened? He was lied about. He was lied about. So first, not only is he sold into slavery, lied about, his dad thinks he's dead. But now he's in Egypt working his tail off, and Potiphar's wife lies about him. So then he gets thrown into prison. Can you imagine the discouragement when he's in prison for doing nothing wrong? First, he's away from his home. He's in Egypt. Now he's in prison in Egypt. All hope seemed completely lost. Have you ever been that way in your life? Maybe you feel that way right now about something that you're dealing with or someone you know is dealing with. And you think all hope just seems completely lost. I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel with this that I'm dealing with right now. I don't get it. Why? It's discouragement. It's discouragement. And you know what? It's a tactic. It's a blindfold of Satan. And what he's doing is he's put a blindfold of discouragement over your eyes, keeping you from seeing what God would have you to see. Are you discouraged tonight? Is Satan using that discouragement? Can I tell you something? By the way, there's a good end to the story with Joseph. Because at the end of it all, no doubt he dealt with discouragement. But what happened? God opened up his eyes through that discouragement. And here's what he said to his brothers when it was all said and done. He said, "But as for you, ye thought it evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass." Amen. God meant it unto good. Even when I couldn't see, even when that discouragement was there, that blindfold was there, God meant it unto good. Not only is there the blindfold of discouragement, the blindfold of fear, the blindfold of sin, there's the blindfold of unbelief. The blindfold of unbelief. I'll tell you about this passage of Scripture, and I'll be done here in just a moment. But there's a point in the time of Jesus' ministry where his disciples were to do his will. And they had the power to do it. They had the power to do what Jesus was doing. But they didn't believe. They didn't trust him. They didn't believe that they were able to. And this man came, he had a demon-possessed child, and came and said, "I don't understand. We've come here. I need to have my child. I need to have these demons just completely take. I need to have them cast out of my child. Your disciples couldn't do it." And Jesus worked that miracle and did it. And his disciples came to him and they said, "Lord, why is it that we can't do it? Why couldn't we do it?" And he didn't tell them because you didn't have the power. He didn't tell them you couldn't do it because you didn't fully understand. He didn't tell them, "Yeah, you couldn't do it because you really couldn't grab a hold of the truth." He said, "Here's why you couldn't do it." In Matthew 7, here's what he said. "Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, 'Why couldn't we cast him out?' And Jesus said unto them, 'Because of your unbelief.'" Because of your unbelief. You know, here's the thing. There is so much that God can do. There's so much that God wants to show you. There's so much that God wants to bring to light to show you what he's able to do in your life, what he wants to do with your life. He wants to show you his goodness. He wants to show you everything. But here's the thing. Sometimes Satan can put a blindfold, an unbelief over your eyes. Here's what I mean by this. "I just don't know. I just don't know. I just don't get it. I just don't understand. I just don't." Are you doubting God's word? You see, here's the key here. And here's what God says. Just believe this. Amen. Just believe this. And here's what Satan likes to whisper in your ear. "No, that can't be true. No, that's not right." He likes to add stuff. "No, that's not right. I mean, look at so-and-so. I mean, there's..." Wait a minute. Is Satan using a blindfold? Because here's all God says. God just says, "Just believe me. Just believe me, and I'll make it clear to you. Just believe me. Just trust me. Just trust me. And when you trust him and you take him at his word, that blindfold gets removed. And all of a sudden, wow. Look at what I've had all along. All I had to do was trust his word. That's all. All we've got to do is trust the word of God to see his goodness, to see his blessings. When's the last time you thought about God's blessings and his workings in your life? When's the last time you just felt overwhelmed at God's goodness? When's the last time you looked at your life and just thought, wow, God, you have given me opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to show someone the gospel, to be a blessing, Lord God, to do your work, to do your way? When's the last time you spent time in God's word? And boy, the word of God just completely enlightened something in your mind and you were able to pull something from God's word that you could take with you throughout the day. Or is reading God's word just simply dry, just simply boring? Here's the thing. There are some people who say that. And it could be that it's because there's a blindfold over your eyes. Amen. And Satan's got a blindfold. But here's the good news. It doesn't have to be there. Amen. God wants to open up your eyes. How many of you want to see tonight who God is and what he's capable of? Here's the thing. I'm going to go to one passage, then I'm done. There's one passage. Turn, if you would, over to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Psalm 34. I go to this passage all the time and think, boy, God is good, isn't he? How many of you can agree with me tonight? God is good. Here's the thing. Sometimes we can read through this and just skim through it. There's something the Lord showed me last night where it's one of those light bulb moments. Psalm 34, 8. Look at this verse. It says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Do you realize everything in God's word is listed a certain way for a certain reason? You know, God says, desire the sincere milk of the word. We feed ourselves on God's word, right? Sometimes we don't realize we're starving ourselves, right? We know if we're starving ourselves physically, right? We can tell. If we're hungry, we can tell. Some of you are in here right tonight, and you're like, I'm hungry, okay? I'm ready to go to Applebee's afterwards, okay? Or Cracker Barrel, whatever it is. You know when you're starving physically. It's another thing to be starving spiritually, because sometimes you're just down, you're downtrodden, and you don't know why. And sometimes it's because you're being starved spiritually. You're not feeding on the word. His word is what we need. The sincere milk of the word is what it is. We need his word to feed on, okay? So in this passage, it talks about tasting something. So I want you to have that in mind about his word. Look at this. Look at what it says. Oh, taste and what? And see that the Lord is good. Notice something. It doesn't say, see and taste. That's what we do, right? I went to Cracker Barrel church this morning. Love Cracker Barrel. Amen, right? What you do normally with physical food, what do? You see it first, and then you taste it. You see it first, and when you see it, you think, oh, my goodness, that home-style fried chicken looks good, right? Oh, my, that fried bologna looks good, right? You see it. And after you see it, you taste it, right? Because of what you've seen. But when it comes to drawing and eating from the Word of God, it's flipped. That's right. That's good. Yes, sir. Why? You know why? Because you can't see the work of God in your life. You can't see the goodness of God. Right. You can't see what God wants to do with your life. You can't see his power and his glory without first tasting from his word. Amen. You know, many times we want to have it reversed. We want to be able to see and say, God, why can't I see anything? And you know what he says? He says, have you tasted from my word? Have you tasted from my word? Because you've got to taste from it first if you want to see my glory. Is there anybody in here tonight where maybe you've been searching for that? You've been looking to see something, but you can't. Because you haven't tasted it. Or could it be that maybe you're trying to taste it, but you go in from reading scripture, and time again, it just, you don't feel like you're getting anything out of the well. Could it be that it's because you've got a blindfold of unbelief, because you're not just trusting it and believing it? Believing God, I'm going to take you at your word. I'm going to take you at your word. Is there a blindfold over your eyes? Another you could have is the blindfold of routine, right? We can get so busy going day after day, going through the same stuff. I am guilty of that. I'm guilty of going through the motions at church, getting through, okay, we do this first, we have this song, we do this next, okay, then there's the message, then afterwards we have grub lunch, then we're going to do this, and then I go throughout my routine throughout the week, and I go, okay, I got to get up in the morning at this time, got to be to work at this time, got to go through work, got to get through this, got to go home, got to do this, and you know what we do? Our wheels are turning, and we're just going through the routine. And when we're going throughout the routine, you know what we can sometimes be guilty of doing? All of a sudden, because we were just going through the routine that Sunday morning, we missed the blessing that God had. We missed the person that was sitting in that row that we were supposed to minister to, that we were supposed to encourage, that we were supposed to lift up. We missed the message in that song that we were singing because all we were doing is just singing those verses because that's what we always do. We're just going through the routine. And you know what Satan's doing? They got a blindfold of routine. All they're doing is going through. And because they're just going through the routine, they can't see what God's got for them. Because they're just going through the motions. And then we go throughout the week through work, and we just pass by the same people, deal with the same people every day. We get discouraged. We get frustrated at people, our coworkers. We're just going through the routine. And you know what we miss because we're going through the routine? We got a blindfold on. Because we got a blindfold on, we can't see there was someone that you were supposed to encourage today. There was someone that you were supposed to witness to today. There was someone who needed a godly example to lift them up. And you were it. But you had the blindfold of routine on. You're just going through the motions. Is something obstructing your vision tonight? I don't know if we have a piano player. If there is, if they want to come up and start playing something softly, that's fine. If not, that's okay. One last story I want to give you and then I'm done. I can remember a time last year in the fall. I'm a big roller coaster person. Some of you are thinking, I would never do that. I go to Dollywood for all the other stuff, but I won't do that. But me and some friends of mine, we went up to an amusement park up in Sandusky, Ohio, called Cedar Point. I grew up about an hour and a half north of there. That's right, I'm a Yankee. But I can remember going there summer after summer, and I love roller coasters. But I told the guys who I went with last fall, I said, there's one ride I will not go on. It's called the Gatekeeper. It's about the size, the height, First Tennessee building downtown. It's rides at the county fair where it's just a pole in the middle and there's swings that just go around in a circle, take you up and go around in a circle. Imagine one of those rides, but as high as the First Tennessee building in downtown Knoxville. That's the one ride I will not go on. Well, they convinced me to go on it. But you know what? I did not experience that ride like they did that day. Because as I got on there, I tell you what, Brother James, my eyes were closed the entire time. And that thing took us up over the water by the lake there, and I felt like if I opened my eyes, I was going to fly out there. 13, 14 stories tall, however tall it was. And my eyes were closed the entire time. And my buddy Dustin's like, Mike, just open them up, man. Just look. Just look at it. It's an incredible view. And I'm like, no. Will not open my eyes. I will not. I am no way. And we got down to the bottom. All those guys who ride with me, they were all talking about it. Boy, that was incredible. Look at what we experienced. Man, that was awesome. Did you see the view from up there? And I could not agree with them. You know why? I didn't experience it. I was a rider on the roller coaster, but I didn't experience it. I didn't experience what the ride was designed for because there was something obstructing my vision. What a sad thing to think that as Christians, God has so much for us to experience on this ride that we call the Christian walk and the Christian life. And God wants us to see what He has for us. And God wants us to see His glory. God wants us to see how He can use us. God wants us to see how He can move in our families. God wants us to see His work and His way in our lives. But Satan likes and loves to blind the minds of God's people. And what a sad thing it would be if one day, at the end of our life, we get off this ride and we meet the Lord. And we get to be with Him for eternity. But God says, I had so much more for you. You did not experience everything I had for you. because the whole time you let Satan blind your eyes. Is there something blinding your eyes this morning? Is there fear? Is there sin? Is there discouragement? Are you being blinded by routine? Are you being blinded by something this morning, by unbelief? There's a great God in heaven. He wants to take that blindfold that Satan's put over your eye. He wants to remove it from you, and he's got the power to do it. But you've got to come to him. Amen. And you've got to ask him to. You've got to seek him. But he's got the power to do it. May it be that not one person in here tonight walks out that door without removing the blindfold if Satan's got your eyes. Amen. You're not going to be able to see. You're not going to have your eyes closed pulling out of this parking lot. But will you be pulled out of this parking lot with the spiritual blindfold over your eyes to where you can't see something? Allow God to do a work in your heart for him to remove it tonight. Let's go to the Lord.